everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, just go to my webpage, that's georgegordon.org. Again, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on eminent domain and takings cases right after this. You know, the lessons on courtroom strategy and procedure that you hear on this program are just a small part of my 2-week basic courtroom strategy and procedure school. And this class includes lessons on what to do and what not to do at the scene of the alleged crime and what you should say to the police or investigators and what you ought not to say to the police. And you'll learn how to conduct yourself and your case at bail setting, arraignment, pleadings, motion hearings, trial, and appeal. And you'll learn how to ask questions, cross-examine adverse witnesses, select a jury, introduce exhibits and evidence, conduct discovery, do legal research, and follow the rules of court. Now, there are 28 things, 28 elements to learn in courtroom strategy and procedure. Rule 1 is that all of the evidence that your opponent is going to use against you is going to be furnished by you. So keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything, and then shut up. Now that's rule one, and after rule one is out of the way, we can get to the real business of winning your case. Now if you'd like more information about courtroom strategy and procedure, why don't you call the law school at 417-273-4967, and be sure to ask for my free general law CD package while you're at it. Now that's a 4-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. Now, courtroom strategy and procedure is also available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, just go to the website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Why don't you do it right now before you forget, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about eminent domain and takings actions, brought to my attention by one of my students, Kathleen, who sent me a short article written by Henry Lamb. Now, if you want to catch up, just go to the archives and pick up last night's program, and we will we'll bring you up to speed. I read the entire article, and I agree with Henry Lamb. I think that he's exactly right. And I took the first 2 or 3 paragraphs here. We're dissecting and analyzing his argument. And I'm going to show you why it is these people lost and how it is that they could win. I mean, they can win starting today. They probably won't. I've been watching eminent domain cases for many, many years, and it's a very common practice. For instance, one time a lady had a house that she'd rented, and these people used the house for drug deals. Well, the state came in and seized the house in an admiralty action and took the house away from this lady. Now, the state can't do that. She wasn't dealing the drugs. It was her tenant. But she didn't know how to argue the case, and she hired an attorney, and of course the attorney lost her case for her, which is what they do about 94% of the time. When you hire an attorney, he'll lose your case 94% of the time, and you'll win 6. With odds like that, you don't need to waste your time hiring an attorney or going to court. Just plead guilty. And that's what these Sheely people did. They just went in, pled guilty. They were snookered out of the game early on. Now, the theory behind American government is that the people are the sovereigns and that the government agents work for the people. The truth of the matter is, the people are so ignorant today in 2005 that they're no longer sovereign. The people of America are wards of the state, as evidenced by their social security numbers, driver's licenses, marriage licenses, business licenses, and so on. So there's been a renvoi here. What's happened is that the government has taken over from the people and convince the people that they're not competent or capable of managing their own affairs. When people hire an attorney, for instance, what they're saying, this is just the way the law works. You hire an attorney, you give your attorney your power of attorney, your attorney acts as your attorney. You declare yourself to be incompetent, legally incompetent, unable to manage your legal affairs, and your attorney handles your legal affairs for you. That's a guardian ward relationship. We do the same thing with doctors. We give the doctor our power of attorney, and he handles our medical affairs. We go to our psychiatrist and give our psychiatrist our power of attorney, and he handles our mental affairs. Americans are not competent, capable people any longer. So we're not dealing with the same class of people that we were dealing with 100 years ago that came out into this land, conquered the land, killed the wild animals, and established their kingdom, their domain over the land. Today the people are in the cities, locked up as wards, like mental patients in a mental hospital. And then their government officials go around telling them what's good for them and handing them pills and say, take this and stay drugged up so that we can spend your inheritance and spend your wealth. And that's what the government bureaucracy is all about. They're spending your wealth. You're a taxpayer. You're a cash cow. You're an aphid being milked by an ant. And Americans want it that way. Now, I'm not here to tell you that you ought to change. I mean, after all, these are decisions for you to make, and you've made these decisions. But now these Sheelys down here, and in this case, Mr. Henry Lamb, is complaining about this guardian ward relationship. So I thought, well, let's take up this thing of takings and eminent domain, and let's see if there is a better solution for us. Can we learn from these mistakes? Now, let's take a look here at the next paragraph. Well, Jack pleaded with the Game Commission to remove the panther, as it had done with another panther, which was pestering pets at a nearby Indian reservation. The Game Commission refused and scolded the Sheelys for being in the area that they considered to be panther habitat. Never mind that the Sheelys opened their campground in 1971 and never had a problem until the Game Commission decided to release its panthers. All right. Now remember in this ad that I just put on here a few minutes ago, I said, first thing you do, rule one in litigation is keep your mouth shut. Now, when the Sheelys walked into the Fish and Game Commission and said, by the way, I'd like to bring to your attention the fact that one of my goats was killed yesterday, and I think one of your panthers did that. Do you have a panther in the area? And the minute that the other side, that is the Fish and Game Commission, says, it's your fault, you dummy. That's panther habitat, and you ought to get the hell out. Okay, now you know that this is not a government agent who's got a checkbook in his hand and wants to have an amicable resolution of the problem. This is a confrontation. This is a legal confrontation. Out of this legal confrontation, there's going to be one winner and one loser. Because that's the way law works. In law, there are winners and losers. There's no show and there's no place. This isn't a horse race. Now, I've been on both sides of the issue, and I can tell you it's a hell of a lot more fun to win than it is to lose. Now, once you have established that you have an adversarial relationship with the Fish and Game Commission, all we're interested in doing now is gaining names, dates, times, places, facts, witnesses, and evidence. Now, when you're faced with a takings action, just from my perspective in life, just as an old country boy, I wouldn't try to argue the issue of the Third Amendment or argue the issue of right and wrong or good or bad. If the government wants to take my farm for bear habitat, they are welcome to it. If they want to take my farm to build a freeway, let them have it. If they want to take my farm and build a school, who gives a rat's rectum? I don't care what the government's going to do with it. I just want to get paid. That's all. I want to get paid. And I want to get paid what it's worth. Now, frankly, I don't want to sell my farm, and I don't want to move from here, and I don't want the government building schools or building freeways or turning bears and panthers loose in my neighborhood. I don't want any of that. But boys and girls, as I mentioned in the last segment, the last program, time marches on. The people of America have moved off of the land and into the cities. And they've decided that we have a new agenda. We want panthers in the Everglades. We don't want people. Okay. So, okay. You know, there were people that lived in the way of Interstate 10, which goes through Florida, and Highway 95. And those people had to move. When Florida had 100,000 population, you didn't have Interstate 10 and Interstate 95. But now you got 14 million people living down there, boys and girls, and you got these freeways. And there's going to be more freeways, and there's going to be more schools. And there's going to be more habitat for more wild animals. So let's get used to it. Now let's concentrate on getting paid instead of running around out here trying to argue about, oh, God, look what happened to me, and I feel real bad about this, and you ought to feel real bad, too, and write to your legislator. I never wrote a damn letter to my legislature, and I don't intend to. There's no money in it. Now, let's concentrate on getting paid. Now, a neighbor, Jan Michael Jacobson, he's the director of the Everglades Institute, whatever the Everglades Institute is, he offered to set up a video camera and a light to try to catch the panther in the act. A videotape of the slaughter, they reasoned, would provide proof positive that the menacing panther should be removed. On the appointed night, the Sheelys staked out a goat in their front yard, and Jacobson set up his camera, and they were not disappointed. That is precisely the right move to make. You see, boys and girls, we have to prove that it's the government panther that's killing our goats. That's our burden of proof. And then we're going to take that videotape and we are going to go into court. We're going to go into court. And we're going to sue the Fish and Game Department. We're not going to sue the state of Florida. We're not going to sue the government. We're not going to sue we're going to go in and we're going to sue the Fish and Game Department in a takings action. That's the correct form of action here. These people don't know how to get paid. These people don't know what to do next. You know, it's kind of like getting mugged in Central Park. And gee, now that I've been mugged in Central Park, what do I do next? Well, it would have been good if you'd have stayed out of Central Park, but since you got into Central Park, I guess you're already there. Now you got mugged. Well, isn't the next logical thing to do to make a police report? Don't you go to the police and say, well, let me describe this guy for you. You know, when you're getting mugged, you know, shouldn't you be spending time, well, let's see, how tall is this guy? How much does he weigh? What's his race and religion? And, you know, how am I going to identify this guy? So, same thing here. We have to identify what it is that's killing our animals. So they got the right process here. The panther attacked the goat. Jacobson's camera was rolling even as he banged on the side of his camper to scare off the panther. The goat survived. Jacobson and the Sheelys, however, were hauled into court for conspiring to commit animal cruelty. That was a mistake. Why do you want to stop the panther from doing what panthers do? I would have sat right there and let the panther kill the goat and eat it. Or drag it off. Got all the evidence I needed. Then I would go into the Florida District Court and I would sue the Fish and Game Department for all of the animals that had been killed up to that date. That, in my view, is the action to take. I wouldn't even waste the time. You've already done that. See, you went into Fish and Game and you said, listen, we have a problem. I think that your panther over here is killing my goats. And they already said, you don't belong here, and they scolded the guy. Remember? Okay. Let's back up for a minute. Let's suppose that it's the neighbor's dogs that are coming over here, and you set up your camera, and your neighbor's dog comes over, and he kills the goat. Well, now what do you do? Didn't you already go over to your neighbor and say, hey, Bob, I think your dog is coming over here killing my goats? And your neighbor Bob says, it's your fault. You shouldn't have goats there to tempt my dog. You can already see you've got an adversary position here. This isn't a friendly neighbor, you know, like my neighbors. You know, I'd say, hey, Don, you know, I think your dog is coming over here killing my goats or killing my sheep. And Don would say, well, let me tie my dog up and let me see if it's my dog. If it is, I'll pay you for your goats. And he'd tie his dog up and say, well, didn't lose any sheep last night, Don. Turn your dog loose tonight and let's see if there's any sheep. He turns his dog loose. And sure enough, there's some sheep disappear. All of a sudden, we can now start to get the picture, can't we? The neighbor and I are working together to find out what the problem is. Now, neighbors work like that. Adversaries don't. Fish and game is an adversary. You know, government, George Washington said, was a raging fire. Government's not your friend. Government is your servant. And you're the master. Now, either you're going to maintain that master-servant relationship, or your servant is going to usurp your powers and become your master, and you will become the government's servant. Now, I don't care what you do. If you want to be the servant of the government, go sign up and suck off the government trough. Get your social security number and driver's license and marriage license and registration and sit down, shut up, fold your hands, and ride the back of the bus where you belong. Now, if you want to be a master, well, that's another story. Now, this guy's got the evidence, and it's on his video camera. Now, what does he do with the evidence? He takes the evidence in and gives it to his opponent. Listen to this. Remember, the panther attacked the goat. Jacob's camera was rolling even as he banged on the side of his camper to scare off the panther. The goat survived. Jacobson and the Sheelys, however, were hauled into court for conspiring to commit animal cruelty. How did anybody know that they'd taken this picture? They went into the Fish and Game Commission and said, we've got the proof that your panther killed our goat. Now, the government agents aren't stupid. The government agents now see that their opponent, the Sheelys, have evidence that their panther is killing their goat. So the government agent says, aha, what we've got to do is strike first. Let's charge the Sheelys with animal cruelty, which they did. Now, the Sheelys, who are the victims, are now on the defensive, aren't they? This is a brilliant stroke. This is a brilliant legal stroke on the part of the government agents. Let's try it this way. My neighbor's dog comes over here, and he's killing one of my sheep. And I photograph the sheep. I go over to my neighbor, and I show him the photographs. And my neighbor goes into the prosecuting attorney and has me charged with animal cruelty. Hell of a brilliant move on the part of the opponent. Now, listen, law is a game that you play like a game of chess. The petitioner or the plaintiff is the aggressor, and he attacks the defendant. The defendant, reeling under the attack, comes back with an answer. And he moves for discovery. And now the fight is on. And there's a contest going on here, see? Now the government, when they attack you, they always attack you with the law. The government doesn't come out, stick a gun in your face, and blow your head off. The government charges you with a violation of some law, rule, regulation, custom, usage, or practice. Hauls you into court and makes you defend against it. And that's what they've done here. The government has craftily turned this from a takings case into an animal cruelty case. Change the subject matter altogether. Brilliant strategy. Now, what do our guys do? Tying a goat to a stake in the front yard is no more illegal than tying a dog to a stake in the front yard. That's true. That's true. Mr. Lamb says, tying a goat to a stake in the front yard is no more illegal than tying a dog to a stake in the front yard. That's correct. Or a spotlight on a goat in the front yard is no more illegal than putting spotlights on the corners of a house. That's true. Apparently, both became illegal if a panther attacks the goat. It would not have been illegal, however, had the attacker been the neighbor's dog. That's exactly correct. Mr. Lamb, you hit the nail right on the head. And why is that? Well, because Congress never passed the Endangered Dog Species Act. Dogs are not an endangered species, but that cat is. That cat is. And when two people conspire, when two people agree together to commit an illegal act, see, when the panther goes out and kills an animal, that's just nature at work. When you go out here and you stake an animal out, expecting this animal to come out and grab that animal that's staked out, that's animal cruelty. Factually, this is exactly what happened. These people did factually, in fact, practice animal cruelty. They took an animal that they expected would be attacked by this panther, staked him out there, put a light on him for the express purpose of taking pictures. Their mistake was, after they got the pictures, they didn't strike first and file the initial action. Had they filed the initial action, then the government would be behind the eight ball, because if the government then charged them with animal cruelty, they would come in and file a motion for a continuance on that case, the animal cruelty case. Motion for a continuance. Why? Well, because this issue is already in adjudication in another court. And when we get the takings issue settled, then we can come back and decide whether or not we've got animal cruelty. You don't have cruelty to animals if you're gathering evidence in another case. The Sheelys were not gathering evidence in another case, as evidenced by the fact that they didn't file another case. Can you follow that? Now, the Sheelys had the right motivation, and they were on the right track. But they allowed the government to come in and take their queen. Now they're on the defensive. Instead of being on the offensive, the plaintiffs, now they are on the defensive, they're the defendants. Instead of arguing property rights, they're now arguing cruelty to animals. We don't want to be arguing cruelty to animals, we want to be arguing property rights. You can't argue property rights in an equity court. So the Sheelys cannot argue their right to property. That's not the subject matter of the charge. The charge is cruelty to animals. Did you or did you not conspire to do a cruel act to an animal? Tie him out there for a panther to attack. Let's try it this way. Let's suppose you're kind of a sadistic sucker. You know, just kind of. So, let's figure I'm kind of a sadistic guy. So I go out and I catch one of my sheep and I stake him out in my North 40. Now I know that this North 40 is crawling with coyotes. And here's my poor helpless sheep out here, tied up, staked out, tied up to a tree. And I go out there with my video camera and I'm videotaping this, and sure enough, here comes the coyotes, and they just come out here and they attack that poor lamb and they just tear him limb from limb and eat him up right there. What would you think of that? And I'm just sitting over here going, oh, God, look at that. I'm in my blind just watching this animal being torn limb from limb as the coyotes devour him. And I do this night after night. You know, you want to have some fun? Let's go out and stake a lamb out here to a tree and watch the coyotes come in and kill him. What would you think of that? Do you see the positions that the Sheelys put themselves into? In other words, they did it to themselves. They did it ignorantly. They thought, you know, most people view court and they view the law like they view the Catholic Church in confession. You go in on Thursday night and you get into this little cubicle and you confess to this anonymous person on the other side that you can't see and he can't see you, and you say, Father, I've really been a bad guy and I've done all these terrible, rotten, wicked, evil things, and I need to be absolved of this, and would you do that? And the priest says, oh, you're forgiven, my son, and you're free to go now. And people see judges that way. They want to come in and say, well, let me explain what's going on here. And you see, this cat comes in and eats my little goaties, and I'm just real sad about that. And the fish and game people over here, they're not keeping their radio-collared panther on a tight leash, and he's eating my animals, and I want you to stop that. And what you're expecting is, well, you bad fish and game man over there, you lock that panther up and you do it right now. And besides that, you pay him for his goats. Now, that's what Mr. Shealy wanted. But that's not the way this game is played. You can't get that. You can't get that result. You can't get there from here. Now, there's a way to get to where you want to go. Now, Shealy had the fish and game people by the short hairs. Had he gone into the office and reported that there was a panther eating his animals, are you going to take care of it? When they came back and said, no, we're not going to take care of it, and you can just move the hell out if you don't like it. There's an adversarial position. He goes out and photographs the animal, goes into court and strikes first, becomes the plaintiff, and sues Fish and Game for the destruction, the taking of his property without compensation. Now, he could have done one more thing. He could have written a letter to Fish and Game and alleged that there was a panther killing, that 10 animals had been killed, and that he wanted compensation for them. He'd have gotten a letter back and said, we're not going to pay you, which would have been the prima facie evidence of the adversarial relationship. Remember, there's a case called Ashwander versus TVA, and the courts have said, this is the Supreme Court of the United States now, in order to meet the Ashwander doctrine, you have to have a vital controversy at issue. And it's up to you to show that there's a vital controversy at issue. You've got to contact Fish and Game. You've got to tell this guy, hey, it's your cat. Hey, neighbor, it's your dog that's doing this damage. Fix it. You got to make that demand. You've got to be able to show that you did that. And in this case, there's two ways to do it. But going into your opponent and saying, I've got the evidence against you now, well, and then your opponent says, oh, well, then what's our next logical move? Well, let's put our opponent on the defensive. That's what we do in chess. Hey, let's put our opponent on the defensive. And that's what the government did in this case. Now, I want to point out to you that the Third Amendment here, which Mr. Lamb brought up here open early on, is collateral. It's the Fifth Amendment. Fifth Amendment. Takings is the issue. Not Third Amendment, quartering wild animals on my petting zoo. Now, the difference is the special rights that Congress has conferred on a wild animal by virtue of the Endangered Species Act. Jacobson cites many scientific studies that conclude the panther is in no way endangered. It doesn't matter. Once a species has been declared endangered by the government, it is protected, whether it's endangered or not. And that's exactly correct. You see, government is God. When God says, thou shalt not commit adultery, that's the law. The fact that we have brothels in Nevada, the fact that there are whores in Times Square is irrelevant and immaterial. Now, once Congress comes along and says rattlesnakes are endangered, rattlesnakes are a protected species, you can't kill them. So it's against the law for Mr. Shealy to go out here and kill this panther. So, I can't kill the panther, but your panther is over here killing my goats. How do I get a remedy? You become the plaintiff and you sue the adverse party. You tell him, hey, you make demand upon him first. You walk in and you say, hey, I think your panther is over here killing my animals. Pay me for him. No, we're not going to pay you for him, and you should just move. Okay, adversarial relationship is now established. Now, I've got to have the witnesses, evidence, and testimony. Write this down. Get your pen out. Get your pencil out here, sharpen it on both ends. Here's the seven things that you're looking for. Names. Whenever we want to go into court, we have to provide names of all of the parties or the people that are involved in this action. So we need the names of the fish and game people that are involved. Who did you talk to? Dates. When did you talk to them? Times. How many times did you talk to them? What time of day, if it's relevant? Places. Where did you go? In their office? Did they ever come out to your petting zoo? Facts. List the facts that are relevant in this case. I lost 10 goats. These 10 goats were all killed by a cat. Here are the photographs of all of my 10 cats or 10 sheep that have been killed or whatever. Witnesses. How many witnesses do you have? In this case, we got a witness and we got videotape. Evidence. What evidence do you have? The pictures of the dead animals, the videotape, the confrontation in the Department of Fish and Game's office. How many witnesses were there at the fish and game? Anytime you go to talk to a government agent, you want to have one or two witnesses with you who can establish the facts. As soon as you walk out of the office, you sit down and you write out an affidavit. What did you see? What did you hear? What did you say? What do you know? You write that down in your affidavit. Later on, that becomes evidence at trial. Now, if the government has a panther and the panther's eating your goats, you're entitled to get paid by the government for every goat that the panther kills. The burden of proof is on you to prove that, one, it's the panther killing my goats, and two, how many goats did he kill, and three, what's the value of the goats? See how simple that is? Now, if you can meet your burden of proof, you can collect your money. And there's no big mystery about this. But it turns into a big mystery with ignorance. That's what it really boils down to. Now, hang on. Let me take our halfway break here, and we'll be right back with more on takings cases and eminent domain when we return. Now, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, go to the homeschooling page on our website. The Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log and schedule and archives. And it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the Law School direct, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Now, the Law Hour, an editorial review, brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events from the scriptural perspective 7 days a week. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour, an editorial review, gives credit to the authors and publishers that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publishers necessarily endorse or recommend the Law Hour or editorial review. Most of the authors and publications cited on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. And remember that the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or of this radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember the webpage, georgegordon.org, or go to the law school direct. The phone number is 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing takings cases in eminent domain. This is the second program in the series. And we're talking about a story down in, what is the cool place, Ochopee? Is that O-C-H-O-P-E-E, Florida? Ochopee, Florida, I believe. Where a fellow by the name of Jack, I guess that's his wife Jacqueline probably, and David Sheely's petting zoo. It may be Jack and David, I don't know. Was it a man and his wife? May not be a man and his wife. I assume that it was, but it may not be. In any event, the Fish and Game Commission here has turned out a wild animal, a panther. They could have a bunch of them down there in Florida. Now, the argument that we were making just before we took our break was that these animals are not endangered. And I've heard that argument, that there's plenty of them down there. They're not endangered, that there's wild stocks down there. Now, if the government decides that the black panther in Florida is endangered, then it's endangered, and there's no need arguing about it. It's a dead letter issue. You get into court and you try to prove that this animal isn't endangered, you're off point and out of context, because the issue is taking, not endangered species. You see, the law declares the animal to be endangered. As a matter of law, it's endangered. And it doesn't make any difference if you had 1,000 witnesses that came in and said there's 13,000 of these animals are running around. They're as plentiful as fleas on a dog's back. It's irrelevant and immaterial. Don't even raise it. Next item. Now, had it been a neighbor's dog that gobbled up the Sheely's animals, the neighbor would have been responsible for the Sheely's loss and required to pay damages. Why then is the government not required to pay the damages caused by the government-owned panther? Okay, good question. The reason the government is not required to pay is because the government hasn't volunteered and the Sheely's didn't make them pay. Let's try it this way. Let's suppose that my neighbor has a dog and he comes over and kills my sheep. I photograph the neighbor's dog killing my sheep. I go to the neighbor and I say, "Now, Mr. Neighbor, your dog's killing my sheep. Number one, tie your dog up so he doesn't kill anymore. Number two, pay me for the sheep that he's already killed." And the neighbor says, "No, I'm not going to pay you for the sheep he's already killed. And number two, I'm not going to tie him up." Okay? Now what am I going to do? I go home and I write a letter to the editor of the Ozark County Times. Do you think that that's going to solve my problem? Now, I'll do better than that. I'll write a letter to my representative, Roy Blunt, in Washington, D.C. Boy, I'll get after my neighbor now. I wrote a letter to my representative. Want to get even nastier? I'll write a letter to my senator, Kit Bond. I'll write a letter to Kit Bond. I'll report my neighbor dogs killing my sheep by writing a letter to my senator. Hell, maybe I'll write a letter to the governor. I'll write a letter to George Bush. Do you think that it's going to get me any compensation for my dead sheep? Let me tell you, nothing's going to happen until I go into Gainesville and I file an action in my local county court and I sue a neighbor for the damages that he's caused me. Now, why do you think that it's going to be any different when the government's panther comes over and kills your goat as opposed to your neighbor's dog? I don't know, boys and girls. We go to college and we get letters after our names, but we don't seem to get any smarter. Now, this isn't a big mystery. This isn't some big, you know, hidden away mystery like the book of Revelation in the Bible, for crying out loud. 90% of this is just common sense. Who's causing you a damage? That's the guy you want to sue. All right, now there's a little thing that you got to know about suing the government. The 11th Amendment comes into play, and you can't sue the state of Florida. Now, there's some exceptions to that. There are 6 exceptions to suing the state, and I'm not going to get into these exceptions because in the context of a takings case, the government has given you permission to sue them in a takings case in both your state and federal constitutions. Federal Constitution, it's the 5th Amendment. And if it's the United States of America that's taking your property, now see, he said here in this article that it's the Fish and Game Commission. I presume that it's the state Fish and Game. Hell, it may be a federal agency. If it's the federal agency, you take them into the U.S. Court of Claims in Washington, D.C. There's a court in the United States, and that's all they handle is takings claims. When the government takes your house and they don't pay you for it and build a freeway through there, that's a takings case. If it's the federal government building a federal highway, you take it to the U.S. Court of Claims in Washington, D.C. And you file the action right here in your local federal courthouse. You don't have to go to Washington. You file the complaint right here in your local federal courthouse. Now, let's suppose that it's a state agency. Well, then you take them right into your county court. Now, if I had a bear that was eating my sheep over here, I would go into John Jacobs. That's my local county judge. He's called the Associate Circuit County Judge. And I would file an action in that court right here locally, and I'd say the state of Missouri is taking my sheep. See how simple that is? The state of Missouri is taking my sheep. This is called an inverse condemnation. You might want to write that down. Sharpen your pencil again. Write that down. It's called an inverse condemnation. A condemnation is where they come out and physically take your land and build a freeway. That's a physical condemnation. An inverse condemnation is where they take the use of your property away from you. In this case, they're taking this guy's goats away from him to feed their panther, and they're not paying for the panther food, which is pretty good for government. See, in a petting zoo, you got to buy feed from Purina and feed your goats and then charge admission, and people come in and pet your little goaties. Now, the government comes along, and they breed wild panthers and turn them loose, and the wild panthers, they don't have to buy any feed for them. They go out and eat your goats. See how simple that is? All right, now if you want the government to pay you like you have to pay Ralston Purina, then you're going to have to sue them because this is called an inverse condemnation. They're not coming out and taking your goat and then taking the goat and killing it and feeding it to the animals. Now, if your local zoo did that, what if the guys down at the local zoo just came out and said, oh, looky here, a petting zoo. Oh, my, this is really good. And these guys from the Miami City Zoo, they just grab 4 or 5 of your goats and load them in their pickups and haul them off and feed them to the lions. That would be a direct taking, wouldn't it? Well, in this case, the government turned their lion, their panther, loose, and the panther comes over and takes your goat. What the hell is the difference? You're just as out your goat, aren't you? Now, you went to the government and you said, well, would you please catch your lion and lock him back up in his cage so he won't kill my goats anymore? And they said, no, we're not going to do that. Okay. And you can't kill our panther. Oh, okay. I can't kill the panther because he's an endangered species. That's against the law. Okay. And your panther is over here and he's killing my goats. And I need to get paid about $100 a head for my goats. And you won't pay me. Well, then my solution then is to sue you in a takings action because the government is taking your goats by way of their panther that they have turned loose. They are the proximate cause of your injury, aren't they? So your burden of proof is to prove that it's the panther killing the goats and not the neighbor's dogs. And you did that when you got the photographs. You got the videotape. That videotape, by the way, is going to be shown to the Fish and Game people. And if at any time they want to charge you with animal cruelty, they can. They can. But what we do is we come into the lower court. Now, let's just be practical about this. You get a complaint. You get a ticket. And they say, come in here. And the judge says, how do you plead to this charge of animal cruelty? Guilty or not guilty? All right, write this down because there's a number of ways that you can plead. You can plead guilty. Write that down. You can plead not guilty. And then you can plead nolo contendere. And what happens in these three pleas is that you lose. Now, you can plead non-assumpsit. Now, if you plead non-assumpsit, what you're saying is, I don't have any contract with you. And this is why the government came right out and took care of that problem with the Indians. See, they have a treaty. They have a contract with the Indians. So they had to come right out and take care of that panther right away. And they did. Paragraph up here says that a neighbor, Jan Michael, over here, director of the Everglades Institute, offered to set up a video camera, and they set up the video camera, and that's because this panther was a pest on the local nearby Indian reservation, and they came right out and they removed the panther that was the pest at the Indian reservation, but they didn't do it over here at the Shelys. And that's because they had a contract. Now, there's a plea called double jeopardy. Now, this is not a double jeopardy pleading because you haven't been tried for this. This case is in adjudication in another court. It's in adjudication in another court. So you file a motion for a continuance, arguing that this case is a takings case and that the real issue here, Judge, isn't cruelty to animals. The real issue here is a taking of my property, and I have filed an action, and here's the action. It's number 05787T11, filed here in whatever your county seat is in Florida. And the judge will grant you that continuance. They'll raise this issue at a later date. Now, there's a plea called non-assumpsit by way of confession and avoidance. Maybe we'll talk about that when we get into pleadings. One of these days I'll take up pleadings and I'll show you how to make these pleadings. There are 7 of these pleas that go to the heart and core of the pleadings. Let me describe it. When the government brings an action against you, how many ways do you have to resist these allegations? And the answer is 2. 2. You can plead or demur. Plea or demur. Now, if you plea, you have 7 pleas that you could enter. 7 pleas, of which guilty, not guilty, nolo contendere, non-assumpsit, double jeopardy, plea and abatement. Okay, let's try this plea and abatement. Because that's what the plea, or that's what the continuance is. It's actually called in law a plea in abatement. I want to abate this proceeding because I have another action called a takings action sitting over here in this court of claims. And when we finish the court of claims action, that court is going to decide whether or not those pictures that I took were necessary and imperative for me to prove my case. See, you needed these videotapes of the panther killing this goat on your property to prove that it was the panther and not the neighbor's dogs or some other cause. That's not animal cruelty. Although, if you go in and plead to animal cruelty, guilty or not guilty or nolo contendere, from that point on, you've pled into what's known as a fiction of law. You plead into the fiction of law. From that point on, you can't win. Because, in fact, this is cruelty to animals. To stake an animal out that you know or reasonably believe is going to be attacked by a wild animal is cruelty to animals. Well, let's try it this way. Would you take your little toddler, let's say 2-3-year-old kid, would you stake your 2-3-year-old kid out here on the front lawn? Is there anything illegal about you staking your kid out on the front lawn? Not that I know of. Could you stake your kid out on the front lawn at 3:00 in the morning? Yeah, think you could do that. Is that against the law? No. But what if you reasonably believed, or what if another rational, normal, reasonable person under similar circumstances believed that there was a panther in the area and you staked your little kid out here on the front lawn? Don't you think that that would be child endangerment? Now, you see, I could tie my kid up in my front yard here, where I live, at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I don't think there'd be any problem. I could put my kid out in a playpen, you know, out in the front yard. You know, when I say stake him out there, you get a bad connotation. Okay, so let's not stake him. Let's put him in his playpen out there in the front yard. Would you be adverse to that? Well, would you be adverse to putting your kid out there in a playpen if you thought that there was a black bear or there was a cougar roaming around in the area? Wouldn't that be child neglect or, you know, come on, let's be intelligent people. Now, there are a bunch of people out here that are kind of nutty. I'm going to give you a couple of three examples here. Here's essays on animal rights. Looking for an essay? Download one today. DoNow.com. PETA, P-E-T-A, dedicated to establishing and protecting the rights of animals. PETA.org. Animal rights. Meet tens of thousands of vegetarian singles for love. www.greenpersonals.com. Animal rights essays. Search our database for 1,000 essays for papers on animal rights. ExampleEssays.com. Now, I think that these groups are nuts. But listen, millions and millions of people belong to these groups like PETA. And they want these panthers running around in the Everglades. They want wild wolves marauding around in the Rocky Mountains. Hey, listen, boys and girls, you all you property rights advocates out there, there are people that want to build freeways right through your property. There are people that want to build schools right there in the middle of your private property. And when they do that, we have a methodology which is called a takings action. It's called eminent domain. There's a way to get paid for that. Now, I'm not going to get into the politics now of let's prevent eminent domain. That's a hot issue right now. People are real excited about stopping eminent domain. I'm not into stopping eminent domain. Personally, I don't care if the government comes in and takes my property for a school, they take it for a freeway, or they take it for a Walmart store, because they're going to get more taxes. And I'll guarantee you, if you build a Walmart store on my farm, I'll bet you that Ozark County is going to collect a whole lot more taxes off that Walmart store than they're going to collect off of George Gordon. So from the point of view of the county, it makes all the sense in the world to condemn George Gordon's farm and take it for a Walmart store. Or build a country western theater here. I can see all the reasons in the world. All I'm saying is, pay me for it. Pay me. That's what the Fifth Amendment's all about. That's what eminent domain is all about. That's what takings is all about. That's what inverse condemnation is all about. Damn it, get your checkbook out and pay me. Now, I'm not in favor of PETA, but, you know, the PETA people are Americans, and they have rights, too. And they have a right to be a vegetarian if they so desire. They just don't have a right to make me become a vegetarian. They just don't have a right to make me comply to their standards. And, in fact, our Constitution protects me and it protects them. Now, the majority of people want these panthers, and the Sheelys were told that they could go to jail for a year and be fined for this offense unless they pleaded guilty. So they did, and they're now awaiting their sentence. All right, now, if your opponent can come to you and cunningly coerce you into waiving your rights due to your ignorance, if they can get you, convince you, persuade you that you should plead guilty to cruelty to animals, and you plead guilty to that charge, well, then obviously you believe that you're guilty, you must be guilty. So the Sheelys, God, talk about injustice here. The government has their cat running around eating their sheep, and then the government comes along and persuades these people that they were cruel to their goat by staking him out here and taking a picture of him while the government's cat comes over and mauls their goat. And then they went in and said, well, we're guilty of cruelty to our goat, and we plead guilty, and we're going to pay a $500 fine and $560 in court costs. Hey, listen, boys and girls, if you want to walk into court and plead guilty, you have a right to do that. My God, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. If you want to walk in here and plead guilty to something you didn't do, that's fine with me. But that goes to show you how weak these people are, doesn't it? I mean, these people aren't in any position to go out and take the government on in a litigation, are they? You know, the only hope for people like this is that they put their chains on their shoulders, and we just pray that the chains don't dig in too deep. These people can't stand up and fight for themselves. I'm not going to stand up and fight for them. And I'm not going to feel sorry for them, and I'm not going to vote for them, and I'm not going to vote against them. I'm not going to do anything for them. They can do a lot for themselves. Now, the government comes along and says, you could go to jail for a year. Well, I got to tell you a little story. I had a student up in New Hampshire, and he was doing the Passover, and so he was divorced, and he had his little girl, and he brought the little girl over, and the little girl's about 8 years old, and so they killed the lamb. They cut its throat and bled it and skinned it and put it on the spit, and they barbecued it, and they had the Passover lamb. The little girl goes home, tells Mommy what Daddy did at the Passover. Mommy, who's got a problem, of course, with Daddy, that's why they're divorced, charges Daddy with animal cruelty, killing this animal. New Hampshire, when you go to the statutes, finds that when you kill a sheep, you cut its throat. That's the standard methodology. That's not cruelty. Number two, killing an animal for Passover or sacrificial purpose is not cruelty to animals, and the criminal charges were dismissed as a matter of law. The statutes provide for it. And when you're gathering evidence of a crime that's being committed against you, that's not animal cruelty. The guy's defense was, we were gathering evidence of a crime. That isn't what they went out and argued. Notice that the attorney in the posh resort town of Naples, the six-member jury listened to Jacobson's attorney explain how none of Jacobson's actions were in violation of any law. It seemed like a slam dunk for the defense until the pictures from the videotape were shown to the jury. The pictures from the videotape were evidence of a crime. And there's nothing illegal about me taking pictures, gathering evidence for a prosecution. The Sheelys and Jacobson's mistake was that they didn't strike after they got the evidence. They sat on it. Worse, they gave it to their opponents. That's even worse. Give your evidence to your opponents? Doesn't seem like a very intelligent move to me. Well, I'm out of time, boys and girls. We'll have to take it up again next time right here. We're talking about eminent domain and takings cases. We'll be back with more tomorrow night. Meanwhile, you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived for your convenience on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Well, there's a signal. Our time is about up. We're going to have to leave it right there. And I'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.